doctrine. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Our great God and our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this privilege to worship you and gather in your name. We ask now, Lord, that you'd bless the word to our heart. Make us truly hear it. Make us truly believe you and trust you. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us freely in Christ. It's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Scripture speaks about the simplicity of Christ, the singleness of Christ, the simplicity of Christ. It's really easy in preaching to get too complicated and to forget that there's a lot of people listening who don't know all the words you use, don't know the meanings of those words, and who don't yet have spiritual discernment, understand the gospel, believe the gospel. And so it's good to be simple. It's good to be very simple. And that's what John does in this text here that I want to read to you. Just two verses, 1 John 5:11. He says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, John says here clearly by the Spirit of God that eternal life is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. God hath given to us eternal life. Now, we know a gift is not earned. A gift is given. A gift is free. It's not something that you earn. A gift's given to you. Now, the fact that we're born into this world guilty sinners, that we come into this world guilty, that we come into this world with a nature to sin, a nature that is sin, and a nature that sins. And so all we do is sin in our sin nature. And that being the case, eternal life's got to be a gift. It has got to be a gift. There's no possible way we can earn it. It has to be a gift. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this thing of salvation, this thing of eternal life, it has to be the free gift of God. It must be. And it is. He says here, this is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. If God leaves us to ourselves, we will earn death. That's a wage earned. You have to work for death, and we'll earn it. That'll be the wage that will be paid is death if God just merely leaves us to ourselves because we've sinned in Adam. But the scripture says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift. Why is eternal life a gift? Why must it be a gift? Why must eternal life be a gift? It's the only way a sinner that's been born of God is going to submit to God is if we're made to see the whole of eternal life is a gift. It's the only way we're going to submit to him, to know he's the giver, and we depend entirely upon him to give and keep us and continue to give to us and preserve us and keep us. It's the only way we're going to bow to him and follow him. It's the only way we're going to give him all the glory. If a sinner wants some glory for self, he wants some glory, he wants some aspect of it to be of himself, It's impossible to glory in self and give all the glory to God. It's an impossibility. Eternal life's got to be all of God. It's got to be the gift of God in order for a sinner to be brought to glory only in the Lord. And this is the preeminent issue, that God has made all things to bring glory to his name. And the whole point of him creating us is to glorify God. And he's going to bring his people to keep his commandments, which are to believe on his Son and love one another as the Lord Jesus has loved us, and give him all the glory. Give him all the glory. Now, let me give you four reasons eternal life must be the gift of God. I've just hit on the first, and that's eternal life must be a gift in order for sinners to give God all the glory. That's the first thing. Eternal life being the gift of God means it originates with God. Eternal life. We know that God had mercy on whom he would have mercy. We know in eternity he chose a people. That tells us, brethren, that God purposed this thing of the fall. He knew the thing. He knew we were going to fall. But before we fell, he chose a Savior to save his people. And he chose people to save. And that's not anything to hold back on. That's not anything to hide from sinners, because we're proud by nature and we need to be humbled down to know that we're the sinner. We're the creature. He's the creator. We're the sinner who needs saving. He's the Savior who gets the glory for doing the saving, and we need to be humbled. And so we need to be reminded salvation begins with him, and he is the one who did the choosing. It must be a gift. It all originated with him. It's the only way we're going to glorify him. It's the only way we're going to glorify him. Now, that only offends somebody who wants some of the glory. It really does. That's the only ones that were offended. You and I were once very offended at the gospel. Why? We wanted to say we put our hand to it. But that doesn't offend you now, because why? When you know him, you want him to have the glory. You want him to have it. Another reason eternal life must be the gift of God is because righteousness has to be entirely of God. It goes right along with the first point. If he's going to have all the glory, he's got to be the one that makes us righteous. Righteousness has got to be freely given of him. Righteousness and life, eternal life, are the same. Where there is no sin, there's no death. Where there's righteousness, there's life. And if we're going to have eternal life, it means we're going to be made righteous, the righteousness of God. That's only in his Son. That's only provided by God, given freely by God, by the obedience of his Son. Eternal life can't be the sinner's righteousness and Christ's righteousness. It can't be by my obedience and Christ's obedience to the law. It's got to be by his obedience. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. That's Christ. Our righteousness, the things we call our righteousnesses, some give themselves credit for righteousness in the beginning. Some do it in the end, at some point. But if any righteousness that we claim to be ours, we've got to renounce it. We have to renounce it. We can't be glorying in our righteousness and Christ's righteousness. It has to be him alone. Him alone. Eternal life must be the gift of God, because only God can regenerate a spiritually dead sinner to newness of life. He has to be the one to give us newness of life. Eternal life can't be by the Spirit of God regenerating the sinner and by something the sinner did to give himself life. When you were born the first time, think about how helpless you were and passive you were in that birth. You had nothing to do with your conception. You had nothing to do with your birth. It was all of another. And so it is with the new birth. It's all of God. If he's resting in a decision he made, or if he's looking back to an old experience and he's trying to put some confidence in that old experience and defend that old experience and defend that, you know, well, I know I was in false religion and I never had heard the gospel, but I say, you're looking in the wrong place. Christ, by His Spirit, gives life. He gives it by revealing Himself in His people in truth. And that's when we know Him. We're going to see in John 9, not today, but, you know, that He gave that blind man sight. But that blind man didn't know the Lord. But the Lord was working everything, and had the Lord had him kicked out of religion by the self-righteous. And once He got him out of there, the Lord came to him and said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He said, "Who is He, Lord?" And then He revealed Himself to him. You get what I'm saying? We can't hang on to something old and in the past. What is it? Who gave you life? And did He give it to you by revealing Himself the truth, through the truth? That's how He does this. Eternal life must be the gift of God, because that's the only time a sinner is going to submit to God as God and truly worship Him. The only way, you can't worship a God that's not a sovereign God. That's the very meaning of God. You can't worship a God that does not sovereignly do all the saving. You can't. If He's not sovereign and the author and finisher of your faith and the totality of your salvation, you're going to glory in yourself. And that's not worship. Worship is bowing to Him and entirely, thoroughly depending on Him alone. And that's worship. And you can't worship any but a sovereign God who's sovereign in salvation. Sovereign in salvation. A true worshiper is going to glorify God for ruling and reigning and bringing Him the gospel and giving Him eternal life and making Him righteous by Christ, giving Him a new holy nature by the Lord, preserving Him, keeping Him, correcting Him, beginning to end. Spurgeon said this thing of thinking that I'm gonna gradually get less sinful and less sinful, and I'm going to get more righteous and more righteous. He said that's a young man's fantasy. Oh, you're gonna stop some outward sin. When you're laying in a bed, barely able to breathe, you're going to stop a lot of outward sin. But you're going to find out in here, and in here, you still got plenty. Still got plenty. We need Him to be our salvation. We need Him to be our righteousness. We need Him to be the holiness. The holiness that makes us pure in heart and pure before God. The true worshiper has to count it all loss, everything, for this excellent knowledge of Christ. He just has to. Now, verse 11 says, "This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life." So eternal life's the gift. It's the gift of God. Now, secondly, eternal life's in His Son. It's all in His Son. Verse 11, He says, "This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." He's given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. If it's in His Son, that's where all of it is, isn't it? It's all in His Son. And none outside of His Son. It's all in His Son. Everything spiritual, everything eternal is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's in His Son. We're not talking about temporal things now. Temporal things are here today and they're gone tomorrow. God will provide temporal things that His people need. But we're talking about a spiritual thing. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about lasting, eternal life here. Eternal life's in His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. God blessed His people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're all in Him. Everything's in him. He is the eternal life. This life is in his son. We're not talking about a new car and money in the bank and a better back. We're talking about eternal life. Eternal life. Lasting, eternal, never-ending life. We're talking about justification from all our sin. Justification. Sin being totally blotted out, put away, being made the righteousness of God. We're talking about being separated out, made holy, purified, consecrated to God, received perfect in Christ. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about acceptance with God. We're talking about actually having peace with God and fellowship with God, eternal life. Colossians 2:3 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. That means whatever I'm looking into this book, I'm going to have to look at it in the light of Christ. I'm going to have to find it in Christ. He's going to have to reveal it to me. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:9-10 says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you who believe are complete in him. This life's in his son. In his son. What else has to be done to complete? What else? There's something else needs to be done to completion? You're complete in him. This life's in his son. It wouldn't be life if it wasn't complete. It's in his son. John 3:35-36. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's all in his hands. It's in the Son's hand. He that believes on the Son hath life. God's Son is righteousness that God the Father provided for those he saved. He is the righteousness. He is the righteousness of God that we believe on. He's the obedience by which we're saved. He sent him to get the glory for taking the law and fulfilling it completely, honoring it completely, magnifying it completely on behalf of his people. And that's what he did. He saw there was no man. He wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those born of the Spirit who cast all that care on Christ and trust him to be their righteousness, he came forth to fulfill the law for his people to make us the righteousness of God. That's what he did. That's what he did. He said, I've glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Here's the question. Did the Son sacrifice himself? Well, we have to say yes. We know, historically we know it at least. He sacrificed himself. Did he die? How could that be? How could him who is righteous and knew no sin, how could he die? Death only came by sin. And he bore the sin of his people. That's how come he could die. He bore the sin of his people. Well, did he put away sin? Or did he fail? Then whose sin did he put away? Acts 20:28 says, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, he's righteousness. The Son of God is himself eternal life. Look back at 1 John 1. Look there. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. We're not talking about the scriptures here. We're talking about Christ, the incarnate Word. We're talking about that Word, that incorruptible seed we've got to be born of, who's got to be formed in us, the Word of life. He said, "For the life was manifested, and we've seen, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." He that doesn't keep our Lord's commandments, he said his commandments aren't grievous. He said he commands us to believe on him whom he hath sent and love one another. When you love somebody, that's an easy, it's easy thing in the world to do anything for them because you love them. If you hate them, you can't hardly do a thing for them. But if you love them, that's just, you just want to do for them. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're trusting Christ the light. We're trusting him who is the life, the light, the righteousness. And by his Spirit dwelling in us, he makes you love him and love one another. But if a man isn't trusting Christ only as his righteousness, if there's something else you have to add, that's walking in darkness. That's not trusting him. Or a man's hating his fellow man and hating Christ, he's in darkness still. Not believing Christ alone is the righteousness of God and the acceptance of God and the perfection God requires. If we don't believe this, we don't believe him. It's just that simple. It doesn't matter what else we do. We don't believe him. We don't have life. But he who has that, he's going to love as Christ loved. How did Christ love? When we were without strength. When we were ungodly. When we fall. Do you sin today? Have you sinned this morning? Why didn't he just wipe you off just like that today, since you've been awake this morning? That's how he teaches us to love, like he loves. He remembers our sins no more. How can he do that? He put them away. He put them away. Hatred says, "I don't believe he put yours away." Well, you'll have to take that up with him, because he says he did. I trust him. Don't you? Believe him. He said, "You gave me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If somebody's looking to a time, to an event, when they made a decision for their helpless Jesus, if somebody's looking to their baptism, looking to the wrong place. Somebody looking to their law keeping and their good works to add to something that Christ has accomplished, looking in the wrong place. Trust the Son. Believe on the Son. Follow the Son. If there had been a law given whereby, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ might be freely given to them that believe. To them that believe. If we following daddy and mama, if we're following our spouses, if we're following our sisters and brothers, if we're following anybody else but Christ, we're not following Christ. It's just that simple. It can't be but one that's the wise one. That's Christ. Can't be but one that's the righteousness. That's Christ. Can't be but one that's the faithful one that obeyed God and saved my soul. That's Christ. Can't be but one that keeps his people separated unto himself and looking to him. That's Christ. Can't be but one that forgives sin and puts it away so entirely that he's just to do it. That's Christ. How do I know I have the Son? How do I know I have Him? Do you believe Him? Do you believe on Him? Do you believe on Him? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I've been trying to tell you some things that it's not believing on him. If you're adding anything or looking at anything else, and I've been trying to declare what it is to believe on him. And this is the question now. Do you believe on him? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How do I know I'm born of God? If we believe on the Son, it's because the Spirit of God revealed the Son in you. He said there in 1 John 5 and verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The Holy Spirit has borne witness with that new spirit within us that we're the children of God and we believe him. Do you remember when you couldn't believe him? Do you remember when that? Do you remember when you was looking at everything else but Christ? Remember when you was looking at your religion? Remember when you was following men and you wasn't following Christ? Remember when he stripped you of all that and took all that away and showed you that there's nothing in you to commend you to God? Do you remember that? Do you remember how when he revealed Christ in you, you could not do anything but believe on Christ? Happened this morning, didn't it? It's happening today, isn't it? For his it is. Well, my faith's being questioned. Don't worry about it. Ain't nobody else's business but you and God. Get along with God. Get that settled. The devil has many who would separate you from him and turn you to something else. And that's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. Look to Christ. Many want to put something between the sinner and Christ. Some requirement you've got to fulfill or you can't be saved. Salvation is Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Don't you let anybody put anything between you and Christ. No, sir. He that hath the Son hath life. What he said, it's birth from above, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, I'm travailing till Christ be formed in you. It's not Christ in a creed. It's not Christ at a mourner's bench. It's not Christ in church membership. It's not Christ plus looking to self. It's casting your care on Christ right now, every day, this minute, and him alone. Salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus. He that hath the Son hath eternal life. All the mercies, all the blessings in Christ are yours who believe on the Son. Eternal life, it's not something we're waiting for when we die. You have it now if you have the Son. You have it now if you have the Son. The moment he makes you hear Christ and cast all your care on Christ, you have eternal life. He's that life. And he's coming again. The life's coming. The resurrection's coming. He's coming. And we're going to drop these bodies of death. Eternal life's not something that can be taken from us. It's not something that can be taken from you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Pass from death unto life. Do you believe him? Do you love him? Is it a chore to come hear him? Is it a chore to love one another? Is it a chore to want to just help brethren? Is it a chore to forgive brethren? Is it a chore to not hold grudges and want vengeance and want to be right? Is that a chore? If so, we don't know him. But if we know him, that's easy. Because you love. If we've been humbled to see we're nothing, that's easy. He said the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them away. Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Life shall not be taken away. What if I sinned since I believed? I would be highly alarmed if you claimed you hadn't. Believers hate our sin. We don't love our sin. We hate our sin. And by God's grace, we try to honor God, striving against sin by the Spirit of God. But we sin. And we have plenty of sin we can be accused of. If we say we have no sin, that our nature is not sin, we're lying. If we say we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. But if we confess to Him that we are sin and that we have sinned, He's faithful. And He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the good news of the matter, brethren. John said, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if or when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And He's the propitiation of our sin. Our Lord didn't give us the Spirit so that when you sin, He's going to scare the hell out of you. That's not why He gave it. He didn't give you the Spirit of fear to keep you in bondage. He didn't. He gave you the Spirit to bring you out of that. And no, He that forgave you the first sin will forgive you the last one. He's already forgiven them. Just come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him. Let no one put anything between you and Christ. And if the Lord's given you faith, confess Him in believer's baptism. Get under His gospel. Unite with His people. And follow Him. Learn everything you can about Him. And seek to honor Him and follow Him and walk after Him. And when you fail, come back to Him. Get up, come back to Him. As you walk on and you rejoice and you find all your confidence in Him, learn everything you can of Him. Follow Him. And when you fall, come to Him. Confess it to Him. Get back up. Keep following Him. This is what He's teaching us. This is what He's going to make His people do. This is what His people are going to do. They're going to do. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. This life's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray that You bless it to us. Lord, keep this gospel simple in our heart. Keep our heart single for Christ. Lord, increase faith in our hearts. We ask that You increase love for Christ, love for one another. Lord, make us love as Christ loved us. Forgive us, Lord, because we fail miserably. Keep us looking only to Him. Keep us coming to this advocate, to this one who is our seat of mercy, our atonement, our eternal life. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for immutable love, for an everlasting righteousness, for eternal life in Your Son. Forgive us our sins, Father. We ask it for Christ's sake, in His precious name. Amen.